Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road, or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough already. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Guess who's back?
Hit the drop.
This water!
This is the Rich Eisen Show, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'd like to know if there's a squealer on this plane. I'd like to know who it is.
Earlier on the show, CBS Sports college basketball reporter Seth Davis. Coming up, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Ross Tucker, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Rich Eisen here, you there. TJ Jefferson making his way from the airport back from WrestleMania XL in Philadelphia. So he'll be joining us on this show. Ross Tucker is going to be joining us in studio. He's out. It's a harmonic convergence. Ross is out here for the NFL broadcast boot camp, where former NFL players return or other members of the broadcast community come and convene for current NFL players to learn the tricks of the trade so they can have a successful career in broadcasting once they're done playing. Ross is out here for that. Plus, Dan Patrick is off, so he's free. And and there's a solar eclipse.
No Taylor Swift tour, right?
All of that stuff.
He's one of the early Swifties.
I know that.
I will say he was ahead of everybody.
He was ahead of his time.
He was.
He's a man ahead of his time.
Yeah.
He'll be joining us here in studio. Overreaction Monday is going to be hitting soon. So is the total eclipse of the sun. Not to go, you know, full 80s music on you here.
I just 70s, Rich.
That's, no, that's
total eclipse of the heart is 80s. Bro.
Bonnie Tyler in the 80s. Come on.
The total eclipse of the sun is a line from You're So Vain that we were just listening to.
Okay.
Which is from the 70s.
That's right. Brockman's got us here.
All right.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Well, I'm going to educate you people on the old
My
stuff.
My goodness gracious.
Citizen Kane? Good movie?
Yeah, right. Very good. And Albert Breer in hour number three of this program. So I'm in Costa Rica. Beautiful country. I mean, cannot rave about Costa Rica enough. And folks who have been there have come back and say, you got to go. And Susie and I now totally get it. It's beautiful. The people are amazing. They are just so open to having you walk into their lives and show you what their lives are all about and sharing it. And pura vida is the phrase that pays over there.
I saw you on a horse.
Dude,
we did everything.
We did it all. And I did what I'm supposed to do, which is stay off my phone.
Congratulations.
Things went a little haywire in the NFL media group world towards the end of the week, and I was on my phone more than I planned to be. But my phone was buzzing quite a bit middle of the week as well. And it's because Stephon Diggs gets traded from the Bills to the Texans.
Out of nowhere.
And that's earth-shattering as well. And maybe the earthquake that hit the New York metropolitan area was an aftershock. I don't know. But Stephon Diggs getting traded from the Bills to the Texans, and the Bills taking a $31 million dead cap hit this year. $3 million more than what Diggs would have been on the cap this year if he stayed and played, does nothing to throw all of us off the scent of Diggs and Josh Allen not getting along. And the amount of smoke that screened us from whatever the hell was going on behind the scenes, sand thrown in the face to try and keep the eyes averted from whatever the hell was going on between one of the top quarterbacks in the game and one of the most talented receivers in the game. This does nothing but add fuel to all of that. Because why else would you take Stephon Diggs and say, okay, Stephon, we will take $3 million more in our cap this year to send you away than it would to keep you here? Now, you can say, well, they saved $19 million in cash on this deal for 2025. And that's cash. And you know what NFL owners like? They like cash. it's not like, you know, the Pegulas are going to be calling J.G. Wentworth, you know, but
877. I get it.
Yes. But that's not why you do it. I mean, this is not why you do this, especially sending him to a team that is on the ascent in your conference. I mean, you're going to have to deal with the Houston Texans now. So why would you just say get out? Certainly when you've already lost Gabe Davis and you took your cap medicine on some top players on defense and your fan base is wondering if your window's closing or your strategy's changing to the point where you're not going to have much of a window this year. And by the way, the Chiefs are only going to be a two-time defending champ that seems to be just as strong as ever. And you had a problem beating them last year. This just in. So you're going to take Diggs and send him to Houston. Now then, it does on its face look troubling for you Bills fans. And it does on its face seem to be a moment where the Bills are going to shift, clearly. We're going to find out just how insanely talented Josh Allen is and just how deep of a wide receiver pool that this appears to be in this draft. But I'm just wondering if we are seeing in this copycat league a shift in strategy at the wide receiver position to turn this group into something like a running back group where you can take some kids out of college and do just as well with them, paying them hardly anything combined, and win a Super Bowl anyway when you got the talented quarterback. And I'm just wondering if this wide receiver group that I saw at the combine and we're hearing talked about nonstop in this draft has just been the impetus for a team like the Bills to do what they've done with their wide receivers, let Gabe Davis walk, trading away Stephon Diggs. And clearly there was something between Diggs and Allen. You're hearing it nonstop. Off camera, I hear it all the time. I've heard it all the time for months. Can't pin it down when you speak to them. They're not going to bring it public. Deep dives get close to the subject matter. But that aside, I'm just wondering if we're not seeing a shift at the position, the way general managers view it, and the Green Bay Packers are the template. The Green Bay Packers, wide receivers, right now, that wide receiver group, collectively, put it all together, and their position group counts $11 million on the Packers cap. Can you name three of them? Some of you can. Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. Those are the two that jump to mind. You know, you got, obviously, Jaden Reed might be somebody you picked up on your fantasy wire just in time for the playoffs. I'm just wondering if the Packers, okay, we got the young quarterback who's a stud, and we've got these wide receivers you've never heard of that weren't, you know, sufficiently mature, or they were too green in Green Bay for Rodgers. Now they're all grownsed up, and they're grownsed up, and they're grownsed up, and they almost made the NFC Championship game. I'm just wondering if the Packers showed the Bills, go get a bunch in the draft. It's not like the cupboard's bare. That kid Shakir was a real tough load to handle. Mm-hmm. in the playoffs.
I mean, obviously, Dalton Kincaid is
right, and you
one of the top tight ends in the league.
And you're just going to load up maybe at the running back position as well.
Well, James Cook came on at the end of the last year.
And I'm not sitting here thinking this is the end of the Bills window because you got Josh Allen, and I do trust Brandon Bean, and you just look at what the Packers did with their receivers. And you know who also might be thinking that too? Is my guy sitting in an RV somewhere on a beach. Because they got Justin Herbert, and they trade away Keenan Allen, and they let Mike Williams walk. And they got the fifth overall pick, and they're going to potentially have their choice of all the wide receivers of this draft. Their top choice. Bears apparently meeting with Marvin Harrison Jr. today. Good luck with that. That's not a smokescreen for the quarterback, folks.
That's a nine.
That's a nine. It's nine, or you might be you might move up to go get him. Because look what the Texans did last year. They're like, we'll draft Stroud, then we'll trade up, and we'll take the defensive rookie of the year, too. So I'm just wondering if the Packers might be showing the way. And there are a bunch of teams saying, okay, so we just saw the Chiefs win back-to-back Super Bowls with a running back who was drafted in the seventh round. Maybe we'll take a bunch of second, third, fourth, fifth round wide receivers, build a really talented young wide receiver room, and go to work with our stud quarterback and a defense that's going to put him in a better position to matriculate. Don't sleep on the Bills is basically what I'm saying. They've all been saying that. And let me just say something about the Houston Texans. Okay. I got some crap from a radio host because I guess in Houston, that was another thing that I just couldn't resist responding to while I'm sitting there on vacation. I just couldn't. Because I had forgotten this moment. I mean, draft moments, they come and they go for me, and I'm lucky to do the draft again this year. And I just sit there and I just have natural reactions to what I think fans are thinking, it's certainly if they mirror me. And when Nick Caserio, without a first and a second round draft choice, drafted Davis Mills years ago, I'm like, what is he thinking? Like, what is he doing? What is he possibly, like, what is up with that? As I think I said five different ways. You know, and then Daniel Jeremiah does what he always does, and everybody in a draft analyst position does for NFL Network for all these years, starting with Mayock back in the day, is they kind of tell me, Rich, get into a better lane here. And Daniel Jeremiah is like, look, the rest of the world thinks and figures out Deshaun Watson's not going to be the quarterback there for much longer, so draft a quarterback. And I'm like, but you got a lot of holes to fill. Like, why are you going to fill it with the quarterback position at this point in time? They took a shot at Davis Mills, and we all know that wasn't it. And then they made the right move at coach. They made the right move at assistant coaches. They made the right move with the general manager choosing C.J. Stroud. They got lucky, I think, in the fact that it looked dark when they didn't get the first overall pick, but it was just the dawn because they wound up with C.J. Stroud, who does appear to be a unicorn at the position, and he had some weapons already there for him in Nico Collins, Robert Woods. They got Dalton Schultz. They figured out their running back position with Devin Singletary. He's not there anymore, but they got enough position players in there to start winning on the spot with a talented kid and a great coach and a great coaching staff. And they made a smart move to go and trade up for the third overall pick last year, too. What the hell? Why not? And you got the offensive and defensive rookies of the year, and you're going to go to work. And what they have done has gone to work. Nick Caserio has added Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon, Stephon Diggs. They re-signed Dalton Schultz and Fairbairn. I mean, all due respect to Larry David. Danico Autry is a really good football player. And I'm telling you what, this kid linebacker they got from the Titans and Aziz Al-Shaair, when I was calling the Titans game in London, I called his name more than anybody else. He was everywhere. And you put him into this defense that D'Amico Ryans is going to be at the top of, the honcho of, as we all know. Guys, I it makes sense. I don't believe the Jets are the team that shows you how you follow up a season in which you have the rookies of the year in offense and defense. throw that one out. That's an outlier. The Texans have those two guys, and they are ready, and they are loaded for bear. Going into the season, I know it's going to be, you take a look at the Bills sending them Stephon Diggs, and we'll see how that works. We'll see how that works. I'm assuming it's going to work out well. Because they got Tank Dell coming back. I mean, they are really, really talented and young and hungry. And they're going to, they are 100% the favorite to win that division, with all due respect to everyone else. And I'm just wondering who's going to start talking about them taking on the Chiefs.
You want to wait like?
Okay, I got you.
30 minutes.
That's Overreaction Monday. Good. Because it's worthy of a conversation. How good and young and talented they are. And aggressive. And Nick Caserio, yeah, I'm not wondering what the hell you're doing anymore or thinking. Wow. What a seismic maneuver that was. So, 2 cents are, Diggs is really good. I think he's making the Texans better. I just wondering, I can't wait. You have to see what the Bills do in this draft. If they walk through this draft without drafting a wide receiver, like they go. Well, I mean, how many times have I sat there on a draft set and I'm like, well, they got to take a wide receiver for Rodgers, right? And then they don't, the Packers. But then the Packers then draft a ton of young wide receivers, and Rodgers was like, I need more vets. And now they're young, and Jordan Love's killing it with them, and I think the rest of the league's taking notice. We'll see how it plays out. Ross Tucker is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Can't wait to have him come out here. Albert Breer in hour number three, and you at 844-204-RICH. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there is the sneak-a-peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got-a-ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast-scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter, who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark. Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA. All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel, and right here on the Roku channel, channel 254 on the DraftKings channel. You can see this man's Ross Tucker football podcast. Ross Tucker here on the program. Good to see you, Ross.
Yeah, Rich, always great to see you, man. Good appreciate to see you
too. Is this your first time in here? You've been here once before, though, right? Have you been here
once before?
A while ago.
It was probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
Jeff Garland was here.
Okay.
And I can't remember the name of the show he was doing at the time. It's not Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It was probably the Goldbergs.
I'm from Philly, outside of Philly.
Okay, sure.
So, like, my wife and I watched that every week. So when I walked into your green room that day, and I didn't know Jeff Garland was going to be here, I was like, dude, I was that guy.
Love it.
I was that guy with Jeff Garland.
But he's a sweetheart. That's the only show I watched
at the time. It was awesome. Awesome.
And Curb is now done. Last night was the final one.
Oh, man.
It was that. I know that. Okay.
Over, man.
By the way, I'm sorry, but TJ Jefferson just arrived, my guy, back from WrestleMania. Good to see you, TJ. Hey, how are you?
I'm great, man. I'm great.
All right. Speaking of Larry, David, did anybody recline their seat into yours on the flight from Philadelphia to Los Angeles?
Luckily, I had a little bit of extra leg room, but the guy in front of me, he did. He put it as far back as he possibly could.
You must have a problem with that yourself, right, Ross?
So I saw you guys talking about this on social media recently.
Yeah.
And I'm Team Eisen Brockman.
Oh.
So I had a back surgery when I played for the Bills. And the way I describe it to people is like, if I'm like this, all the compression is on my back.
That's a problem.
That's miserable. If I can go from here to, like, this is terrible. This is glorious.
Just a couple of notches.
And by the way, Rich, so funny, because I replied to whoever's post, it was yours.
Yeah.
And some guy said, I'd be playing the drums on the back of your head.
I highly doubt that. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Rich Eisen Show Radio Network's back on the air. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. For our radio audience that has just rejoined us, Terrestrial, Sirius XM, and Odyssey, sitting right here, the man who has blazed a trail for Kyle Brandt in the National Football League Universe Media Group. Is none other than Princeton's finest, and now from Ross Tucker Football Podcast fame, CBS Sports, and so much more, Westwood One as well. Good to see you, Ross Tucker. How are you, sir?
Doing awesome. Always great to be out here. Always great to see you. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow when I'm going to learn from this guy named Rich Eisen at the NFL's broadcast
bootcamp. I'm showing up.
Hey.
I'm showing up.
Wow, bringing the big guns.
No, stop. It's every year, it gets bigger and bigger every year, and more and more players who are young and still quite active with years you would think left on their football careers are showing up and trying to figure out what the next step is. Well, I mean, I think in part of that is, again, it's the NFL broadcast boot camp. When years and years and years ago, it was done out of NFL films.
Yeah.
And now they moved it out to Los Angeles. And it seems to have doubled and tripled the number of players that are coming in to
learn. I think it's easier. You know, it's funny, Rich. I went to the first one they ever had.
You did?
Yeah, so it's...
You're an original.
Yeah, so it's 2007.
Okay.
And at the time, I thought I would still get into finance. Like, I had a couple job offers on Wall Street my senior year of college, so I kind of thought, I'll do that. But then it was getting toward the end of my career, and I thought, I got to do something football. So I honestly thought I would live in Manhattan, do finance, and then, like, just do the Princeton football games on the radio. Mm-hmm. But I love football so much, I had to do something. So they had this broadcast boot camp, and I said, okay, I'll go. I'll see what it's like. The one thing I remember the most from that is that James Brown is here because you do these like demo reels, right?
Yeah.
James Brown asked me a question. I had done a million interviews at that point. I realized in that set, he asked me a question and they had said to us, invite the third person into the conversation, AKA the camera, right?
Yes.
So Rich, James asked me a question. I'm like, I looked at the camera, totally froze for like 3 seconds.
No kidding.
No matter how many interviews you do as an NFL player, you never actually look at the camera.
Right.
You're looking at the person talking with you. So James Brown, and it's like James Brown, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
James Brown, and he asked me a question. And I go, well, James, I think that Tom Brady, like it was jarring to actually look at that thing for the first time.
Right. But, you know, it's not the first thing you're supposed to do also. You know, when you're answering a question is not to, but you didn't know that yet.
Right.
And that's why these boot camps are very important, is for you to get that knowledge down, the reps. You need the reps. You need to keep getting reps. And I think that's why so many players are showing up more and more during their playing days with obvious more playing years to come, even though you never know when that last snap is ever going to hit. But I think that it's a smart move of players to do that. But it's also out of what I think is an interesting necessity, because how many players have podcasts now? Like, if you would, like, which coach when you were playing would have been like, get out of here if you said, I've got a podcast?
Oh my gosh.
You know?
Belichick, no chance. Parcells, no chance. Marty Schottenheimer would have looked at me like I had three heads. Like it's, and I'll say this, too.
But not anymore.
Those guys have a huge advantage starting something as an active player now.
Yeah.
Because what I always tell people is I sort of lucked into the podcast game because I retired and I wrote something for Peter King. So then I was writing for Sports Illustrated. ESPN hired me to write for them. And they said, do you want to host our football podcast? I said, I would love to. It's 2009, Rich, maybe 2010.
Yeah.
I literally had no idea what a podcast was.
Sure.
I didn't, they were going to pay me to talk about football. So I did that for 3 years, then I went on my own. Because if I tried to start a podcast now, it would be very, very difficult. My advantage or whatever was that I was one of the originals back in 2012, and I was able to bring over that ESPN audience. Right now, unless you're a guy starting it while you're a player, good luck. Which is why what the Kelseys did is genius. What any of these guys do, Reddick, like what you need to start it while you're playing because that's when people care the most about what you're saying. Because it's a lot harder if you start a couple years when you're after you're done playing.
But you also have to be careful because what happens if you're in the middle of like an 0-6 start? You know what I mean? And now you're telling your coach, your teammates, I'm tapping out of doing my pod right now. And then if you are starting a pod while you're playing, you want that inside information. I mean, for instance, Draymond Green gets ejected from a game 4 minutes in when the Warriors need him to be on the court against Orlando.
Right.
He basically leaves his teammates, you know, on the battlefield. They wound up winning anyway. He doesn't speak after the game, but he goes on his own podcast to give comments on it. And it's just, you know, it still is maybe because I'm old school, a little jarring here to see that. But you also have to be ready to give information that folks are tuning in to hear.
You might not
be up for giving that information because your team's circling the drain, you know?
You have to answer the questions that everybody's talking about as it relates to you and your team. It's funny that you brought that up, Rich, because maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I'm pretty good friends with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, we have the Ivy League thing going, right?
Yeah.
So
he went to the Ivy League?
What's that?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. He went to Harvard. So I said to Fitzpatrick, and you guys will love this, I was like, hey, what do you think about coming on my show every week, sort of like Aaron Rodgers does with McAfee? And he's like, no, I don't want to do that. I said, why? He's like, because like after week five, when I throw four picks and we lose, I don't want to come on that week.
Yeah.
He knew, like, he had already thought about it. Like, yeah. I don't want to do that week. Cause he's streaky, great player, great guy, but he already had thought that far ahead. Like, no, that's not for me.
It was only just a few years ago, Ross, that again, I think that Brandon Marshall would do inside the NFL as a Jet. And there were some sensitivities or as a Bear. I forget when it was.
I think it might have been Bear.
And there were some sensitivities. Yeah. Just like, hey, so you're going to, you know, in the middle of a playing season, you're going to fly to New Jersey. You're going to do a broadcast career. And that gives off the indication that players can't do two things at once. They can't be a terrific professional and also focus on their next career. When, I guess, if I'm not mistaken, Len Dawson or did Fouts do, like, local broadcasts? Well, Fouts would do, I think, some local sportscasts after his playing career. But I think Len Dawson would do some stuff back in the day when he was playing also. I think the stigma's removed, though. I think it's totally – everybody expects everyone to have a pod and still talk about it, and it's to their benefit. It really is.
It's interesting timing, Rich, because I just saw this week people are now talking about – Micah Parsons act wearing thin.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I saw that. And I think part of it is because he does have his own show and he does have an opinion on everything. Mm-hmm. So it really is interesting because there's that balance between you can really get paid doing it while you're a player and if you want to do that stuff after you're a player, you need to start it while you're a player, but you also don't want to put your current team in a bad situation. And I think I don't know what the Cowboys people saying. I mean, I know this. He's one of the five best players in the league.
Yeah.
So every other team would take him. I don't know what's wearing him. Every other team would take him. But I do think it's interesting that evidently multiple people had said that to Sean Sheriff, who's on Odyssey in Dallas local radio.
Yeah, speaking on behalf of all the fan bases of the 31 other teams in the National Football League, and I look at my Dallas Cowboy friend who just arrived from Philadelphia, TJ Jefferson, please keep talking and giving your opinions, Micah Parsons. Keep, if he's going to podcast his way out of Dallas.
Is that our fault? Because remember when he came on and it was like the Micah Parsons show and you guys switched? Yeah, you guys switched seats.
Yeah, we switched seats. He said he wants to be a host. And I'm like, all right, let's do a broadcast boot camp right here. I sat in where you're the guest seat and he sat here. So he took it over.
It might be our fault. We may have helped create this.
I think fault might be the wrong word to use. But yeah, I think you had something to do with this for sure.
I mean, good Lord. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the junior senator from the state of Texas has a podcast. You know what I mean? And he's supposed to be representing the people of Texas. He's podcasting. So if Micah Parsons winds up podcasting his way into that one makes no sense to me. That makes no sense
to me.
Well,
so that's one where I want more context. Like, what is it about him that's wearing thin? I had John Fossil, the Cowboys special teams coordinator, on my show today, Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And you know how with the new kickoff rule, most teams are going to have two deep returners instead of one. And I said, any chance, you know, you can give Micah Parsons a shot back there? Because Micah's from where I live. I went to his third high school football game ever. Mm-hmm. And as you might, it was like watching Jim Brown when he had the ball. It was like the craziest thing you've ever seen. And he said, Micah's been lobbying hard. And I'm thinking, that's exactly the type of guy you want. You're like, one of the best players in the league wants to be your kick returner? Like, he's volunteering to do it?
I'm with you. But that reeks of, why is Gronk on the extra point block team? You know, and then you find out that, wait, Gronk has been blocking on extra point teams? Because you find out when he gets hurt. Like, that's a dicey proposition. I got Ross Tucker here on the Rich Eisen Show. I was mentioning just before that the Bills trade away Stephon Diggs and let Gabe Davis walk. The Chargers trade away they trade away Keenan Allen and then they let Mike Williams walk. And I'm just wondering, because you know it's a copycat league, I'm just wondering if we're watching the devaluing monetarily in the wide receiver position, similar to the running back spot, and the Green Bay Packers' success with a bunch of guys that, you know, make collectively $11 million on the cap, with a terrific young quarterback and a brilliant mind dialing up the plays, is showing, you know, that's the way you can make a conference championship game.
Well, and not only that.
I wonder if we're seeing that right
now.
Well,
not only that, Rich, not only just the Packers, how about the Chiefs? They trade arguably the best receiver in the league and then win back-to-back Super Bowls without him? They haven't had a good receiving core either. You know, everybody's been talking about them. So I think especially, how many years in a row now have they said this is a great wide receiver draft? I know you do the draft every year.
Yeah, it's been a few wide receivers.
But this one in particular is really bad. So rather than paying these guys, I mean, Diggs is getting like $24.5 million this year, which, by the way, to me, I understood the Texans trading a second-round pick for Stephon Diggs. I understood the Texans being all in while C.J. Stroud's on a rookie contract. But why rip up the last 3 years of his deal, give him a $3.5 million raise? He's only going to be there for 1 year.
Yeah.
And because they shortened the contract, they can't get a comp pick for him. A second-round pick for Stephon Diggs for $24.5 million for one season, that's a lot. So I do think, to your point, Buffalo and the Chargers are following the model a little bit of the Packers and the Chiefs, but the Texans are going the other way. I mean, I don't think he's a better player. I think it's probably comparable now between him and Nico Collins. Like, he might not even be the Texans' number one.
Which is fine. Which is, you know, the Texans, the two that they traded was the two that they got from Minnesota in flipping, you know, down 19 spots out of the first round.
Right.
So it's something they've decided. They're drafting, if you will, Stephon Diggs with the second round choice.
For 1 year.
But we don't know what's going on with Diggs. Okay.
Right.
We don't know what was going on with Diggs in Buffalo with Josh Allen and what's going on there. And if you are saying, let's set up a situation where Diggs is as motivated as possible and let's go for it and figure out that's how much he's going to cost on our cap this year and go for it right now with our guy and give him multiple weapons to try and win something right now in year two of his contract, I go for it. And plus, the other they got, if I'm not mistaken, 2 sixes and a five in this draft.
They did get extra picks.
In this draft and next year's. So you might as well, you know, you're trading out of the first. You're going to go get Stephon Diggs with your second round draft choice. You got extra draft choices. You also loaded up with Danielle Hunter on defense and, you know, the rest of this, you know, Autry. I mean, they got some really good players. Yes. I kind of dig what they've done.
So, well, I love that they're in all in on Stroud's rookie contract. I wonder about the opposite effect of him being on a one-year deal and going to be a free agent after this is what if he's not getting the ball? I know he's motivated, but what if he's not getting the ball that much? What if it's going to Tank Dell? What if it's going to Dalton Schultz? What if it's going to Nico Collins? Does he get frustrated? I mean, I distinctly remember, Rich, one season, one game, where we had a rookie wide receiver who was really good, and he had a couple long touchdown catches in the game. Uh-huh. And I'm not saying the team or the name because I don't want to embarrass the guy, but we had a veteran receiver who was very frustrated by the young receiver stealing the thunder that game. Mm-hmm. So when the veteran receiver caught a pass over the middle, took it to the house, I went in to celebrate with him, and I said, hell, heck yeah. And he said, get the bleep away from me. Like, he was so angry that the ball was going to the rookie receiver and not him. And I think he felt threatened with his number one receiver status because the young receiver was coming, that he was, I went to high five him. He said, get the bleep away after you just had like a 40 yard touchdown. Receivers are a totally different animal than any other position that I've been around in the NFL.
Ross Tucker here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what do you think the story of this free agent season entering the draft is right now? Like, who are you just going really macro on it for you right here?
Yeah, well, I do think the Texans are one of the biggest stories for sure. I think that the entire Chicago Bears Justin Fields situation is interesting, you know,
because it leads to the Steelers as well. It ropes
well, yeah,
them
but
into.
Also, and that's the other thing. Like, we were talking about this on my show, but the Steelers' season win total is 8.5 for this year, right? Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season, and now they have two bites at the apple at the quarterback position, right? Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, either one of which I think is an upgrade from Kenny Pickett. I don't really understand that number for people that are into that. But then the other thing is, like, everybody's talking about how great Caleb Williams is, right? And I'm sure he's very good. Fields is bigger. Fields is faster. I think Fields has a stronger arm. So it just goes to show it's not all about physical ability. I think it's the natural feel in the pocket that Williams has, the accuracy, because I don't think anybody will say that Fields is a better player. So that's interesting to me as well. And then the number two pick, you know, there was a rumor like a week ago for a while that the Commanders liked J.J. McCarthy and they might be taking J.J. McCarthy. And I thought, really? Like, that seemed like a smokescreen, but why, if you're the Commanders, do you need to have a smokescreen? If everybody knows the Bears are taking Caleb Williams number one, essentially the Commanders can take whoever they want. I don't think that's going to happen. I heard Schefter recently. It kind of sounds like the Commanders are going to take Jaden Daniels from LSU.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's talking about Jaden Daniels at LSU being the most pro-ready and having the best season, and obviously he had some of the best weapons as well, and he also has a two-way game that potentially the other quarterbacks in the draft don't have. I would be stunned if it's Drake May over Daniels. I really would.
What about McCarthy?
Of course, the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if we're going to have four quarterbacks start it. Like, who's going to be the team that trades up to the fourth overall selection to get whoever's still remaining on the board, assuming it is my guy from Michigan. So,
as a Michigan fan,
yes, sir.
What's your retort to the people that talk about how they didn't throw the ball that much?
Okay.
And they didn't throw the ball in certain situations where it's almost like they took the ball out of McCarthy's hands.
And thus it's a detriment.
That's the negative that you hear.
Thus it's a red flag for J.J. McCarthy.
That's what some people say, yes.
Okay, and what's my retort to that?
Yeah.
You're a moron.
I was going to say, Ross has not been tuning in. I mean, other things going on during our show.
It's understand.
Clearly.
Understand.
In the last, like, 4 months.
You're a moron. Is that too harsh a retort? Come on.
No, you could be.
Come on.
Let
me just say this. There's two ways of answering that question. The first one is Michigan's DNA and Harbaugh's DNA, as Chargers fans will find out, is mashing up front. Did you see Jim's response about the offensive line position he gave at the owners' meeting about how the offensive line is what it's all about? You heard that, right?
Oh, I loved every second of it.
I'm sure you did.
He's a former quarterback saying that too.
Okay. And I thought it was brilliant. So that's what he's all about. He's about dominating the line of scrimmage and having a special running back like Blake Corum and the rest of that position group. Sometimes it would rule the day. The game in which they ran 32 straight times, Michigan will not tell you off of Penn State. They will not come out and say, I think McCarthy was hurt, number one. Number two, they had a major problem trying to block on the right side of their offensive line. So they're going to just start running the ball, and they did not need to throw it. I don't think McCarthy was ready to throw it. And the games that he needed to throw it, he threw his long deep passing is exactly what we needed. I'll say we, even though I wasn't on the field, exactly what Michigan needed in the game that they won in the horseshoe, the second of three in a row against Ohio State. His deep passing, his accuracy, his guts, and his determination is exactly what you want at the position. He is Jim Harbaugh's spirit animal. That's one way to answer it. The other way to answer it is you tell me another 20-year-old that might be sitting there, because he was 20 at the time, another 20-year-old sitting at the time thinking about maybe this is my last year at Michigan. I need to get my draft stock up, and I'm going to watch Penn State, Michigan go down with me handing it off 32 straight times, and I'm going to be cool with it. I'm not going to say a word. Nothing's going to come out of the locker room about me bitching and moaning about where's my stuff, where's my moment. Get out of here. He never did that. He would never think about doing that. He is a winner, and he is a guy who says there is no I in team, and he means it. Why wouldn't you want to draft somebody like that?
Well,
how's that for a long-winded? No, that's my long-winded way of saying you're a moron.
Rich, I love it. And my argument is this.
Yes.
You can't knock a guy for what he wasn't asked to do. Like, if you have bad throws from J.J. McCarthy or bad reads, by all means, criticize him for that. But by saying, well, he didn't do this, you know, if you go back to when Andrew Luck was at Stanford, they threw the ball more when Harbaugh was there. But it's not like they were throwing the ball 40 times. He had Andrew Luck. And it's not like Harbaugh was just throwing the ball all. They were still running the ball a lot at Stanford. That's what Harbaugh wants to do. That's what he believes in.
Well, you know, that's what the draft is about. It's like if you don't do it, that means you can't do it. If you're not asked to do it, that means you're not able to do it. But that's just then they haven't clearly watched him quite a bit. So so what are you doing at the broadcast boot camp? You're teaching up.
I'm mainly with our boss for Westwood One, Howie Dinneroff.
Wonderful, beautiful and man, Howie Dinneroff. Yes.
In fact, he's at the national championship game tonight.
I'm sure.
For hoops. And then he'll
one of the hardest working,
unbelievable,
dear men in our business.
He'll fly in tomorrow morning, and he and I are going to talk specifically on what's different about radio.
Oh, great.
Than TV. And then one thing they're doing this year, which is cool, every guy is getting a chance to do the on-camera stuff or to call a game, radio, TV, and twice. Because what we've noticed the other years, because I've been to this thing every year except for two, they usually do it once, Rich, and then we give them all this feedback, and then they never do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what we're going to do now is they do it in the morning, you give them feedback, then they get a second try in the afternoon to see how quickly they can adapt to the feedback they get from the first time they did it. So tomorrow, Tuesday, we tell them about radio and calling games. And then Thursday, we actually give them critique, which is always fun when it's like Cam Jordan. Be like, oh, Cam, you're terrible at this, man.
Great. Just see his face, his reaction.
You shouldn't get into this industry.
I love it.
I'm trying to make sure the guys that would take my jobs, like, you know, have you ever thought about finance?
I know. You're like that wide receiver that tells you to F off in the end zone.
Thanks for work at the post office.
That's right. At Ross Tucker NFL on social media, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, where all podcasts can be listened to and seen on the Draft Kings Channel 254 right here on the Roku channel. Great to see you, sir.
Of course.
I'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
That's Ross Tucker here. When we come back, Overreaction Monday.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Are you still playing fantasy football? You still doing that?
Not really. No, I'm in a league, but I don't control it. Well, my buddies control it for me.
Well, because I know we've had conversations about this before, and that there are some interesting, tasks that the loser of this league must undertake. So, are you, if you lose, even though you're not part of the day to day?
Oh yeah, they'll hold me to it. Absolutely. I don't even know if I could tell you who's on my team right now, but. If I were to lose, they would absolutely hold me to it, and we'd have to go take care of business.
What are some of the fails that I guess that you have to do? What are some of the responsibilities of the losers of your league? What is?
Last year, the loser had to go to Alaska for a day.
What do you mean, like for a day?
Yeah.
For a day?
Yeah.
Okay.
They went to a place called Nome, Alaska. Actually, where the Iditarod, it goes through there, I think.
Yeah, so the loser,
flood race.
Regardless of the geographic spot in the United States, would have to, for a day, get on a plane and proof of purchase of the ticket and then take a photo. Like, how do you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was tasks involved. It was, I think he went in March.
Okay.
But it was a whole thing. And that was just 1 year. That was just last year. This year, it'll be entirely different.
What other previous years? Any other examples? Because that's amazing. You have to go to Nome, Alaska.
The year before, the loser, Barstool Sports does the Rough and Rowdy, the boxing deal. He fought in that. At the Super Bowl, the year we were there, he was fighting in the boxing on Friday night before the game there.
Oh my gosh, yeah. This is you do not want to lose your fantasy league, Jerry.
No, you don't. No, that's why I try to put a lot of faith in my buddy that's running the point.
I was fun with Goff. Then he was traded to Detroit shortly after that. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, it's a Monday. That means we're time for Overreaction Monday. Are you ready, Christopher Brockman? Are you ready to roll here,
Rich,
on this program?
Go,
all right,
baby.
Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Mondays.
All right, Christopher, have at it. What do you got over there?
Hey, everybody. Everybody good?
We're good.
Rich, you good? You're back?
What's up?
TJ, you're back?
I'm amazing,
I mean, Mania,
bro.
Was sick. Not going to lie.
Man.
All right. NFL draft, 2 weeks away now.
Ooh, let's go.
At least three teams are trading up into the top 10.
Oh, wow.
No. No. What?
Three teams trading up into the top 10.
So that means you need
three teams.
Hold on a minute. Here's the way I'm going to flip it. Name me the teams that are trading out of the top 10.
That are trading out.
Yes, you need
of
a
the top 10.
You need a partner.
That's not the game,
you
Rich.
Need a
We're
partner.
Talking about the teams that are trading in.
No, but
to the top 10.
No, you're saying at least three teams will trade into the top 10.
Top
that
10.
Means there will have to be three willing partners for this sort of thing, and there's not going to be.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean? You can't even answer. You're like trying to get the draft order up.
Cardinals,
there.
See ya. Chargers, see ya. Jets, see ya.
No
Falcon,
way.
What are we doing?
No way. Jets need a. They
Vikings, Broncos,
no
Raiders,
way.
All trading up.
I don't think that that's going to happen. I will say this is an overreaction because I think the Cardinals would be happy to trade, and I think the Chargers would be happy to trade unless the Cardinals trade and it's somebody that's the quarterback that hasn't been selected yet. And then Jim now has the first overall pick of the draft that's not a quarterback, and he doesn't need one for Justin Herbert. And I think he'd be all over Marvin Harrison Jr. at that point in time. So, and the Giants won't trade into the top 10 because they're already there, and they might be the ones who trade up. I don't think there'll be three teams trading into the top 10, and the Jets better use the top 10, the number 10 pick on somebody, because Aaron Rodgers is friggin' 40, and I don't know how much time he's got left. So do it. Use his, yeah.
Friggin' 40.
Friggin' 40.
Official,
what else, Chris?
An official
overreaction. What else?
All right. What they else? Made headlines last week, and the Buffalo Bills, no longer the team to beat in the AFC East.
That is an overreaction. Get out of here, man. Listen, the Dolphins are a good team, and they can win the division. We'll see if the Jets are going to be able to win the division. Your Patriots, I don't think, are going to be good enough to go ahead and battle for the and win it. They'll be good enough to maybe battle but not win the division. But the Bills are absolutely still the team to beat. Josh Allen is the best quarterback in that division. I said those words. And they are the team to beat in the AFC. Anybody that just thinks that they've just plucked too many fruit off the vine, too much fruit off the vine, and their window is closing is nuts. So they're still the team to beat in the AFC East. We'll see who's got the gumption to choose somebody else to win the AFC East other than the Bills. We'll see who they draft, too. What else, Chris?
The Texans. Best threat to end the Chiefs' reign in the AFC this year.
I knew you were going to go here when you teased it earlier. I'll still have to go with somebody in the AFC North.
Somebody.
And we'll see. Yeah, because I'm not gonna sit here and make my call my shot in the AFC
gonna,
North
you're
right now.
Call the defending AFC number one seed in the MVP.
This is year two for Stroud. Let's see if he's going to take the leap that we all think he can. Before I can start saying they're the best threat to end the Chiefs run, they have made a terrific run. They have put themselves in this conversation. I do believe Joe Burrow is coming back healthy.
Yeah, I believe that as well.
Okay,
yeah,
very good. So we will see. And the Bengals are T. Higgins better get used to it, wearing the stripes, because he's not going anywhere.
The opposite of Magic Johnson.
He is the opposite of Magic. He's not going. He's going to be there. Corral. Yeah. So I'm not ready to claim them the best threat. So I'll call that an overreaction as well.
Black and gold. Here we go.
Okay, and plus let's not forget that too. And the Ravens were the one seed going into the championship game. So what else you got over there, Chris?
Let's change the music, Mike. All right, look, Kentucky, we all were shocked at that news last night, right?
Yeah.
Just do the right thing. Bring back Rick Pitino as head coach.
Ricky, he don't believe that, Rich. I tell you, he believes it.
Bring back Rick Pitino.
Oh.
Come on. What are we doing?
I didn't think you were a fan.
You know what they're doing? Anything but that.
You think he gets a call? He gets a call, right?
Did he get a call? What are you going to call him?
He's the second greatest coach in Kentucky history.
I know. Because his buyout is probably like $5 in a
exactly. Maybe like St. John's like take him.
St. John's is like yeah, you can have
him. Bring him back. Play only night games. Come on.
I was going to say a token on the subway, but I know that they don't have tokens anymore.
Wear something nerd, maybe Brockman, real quick.
What?
Rajon Rondo is retired. Maybe you go that route. Maybe you bring an old player in.
I don't know. You heard Billy Donovan.
You got a call.
Scott Drew's name was the first one out of Seth Davis's mouth on this very subject of this conversation. All right. Rick Pitino.
Come on.
Got to do due diligence, right? You got to make the call.
All right. 20 seconds left. Ready? We're getting ready for this eclipse. The most overrated natural world and space event we have is the eclipse. What is this thing?
You are right. That is a perfect reaction.
What are we doing? An eclipse? Get out of here. There's like four or five a year.
Don't look at it.
Do not look at it directly,
even on the screen.
Oh, come on.
Do not look at that.
Yo, that's bright, son.
Are you railing at the overhyping of an eclipse, Chris?
Yeah, like, come on. Chris, there's like multiple of these a year. It's not like a comet. A comet happens, what? Haley's comet is every 86 years?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. I mean,
Chris, you have beef with Mother Nature? Is that what you're saying?
That are way cooler.
So we shouldn't do our segment next?
No, we should. It's a great idea. Okay. The segment is a great idea.
Boom. And Maria, I see.
Don't look directly.
You don't want to look.
Don't look directly at the envelope also.
Yeah. Rich, I didn't believe Chris would pick a fight with Mother Nature today. Like, I didn't see that coming.
I had a few others, but I wanted to get the Eclipse one on the big show.
Pitino's buyout is $10 and a Metro card.
A Metro card.
Did I get it right? Do they use those anymore either?
Yes, the Metro card's still around.
They don't like people jumping the gates.
No, you can't jump the gate. You jump the gates, boom. That's locked in.
You got one more?
I had a few here. I had a few others.
Do you need one more?
All right, we'll give a rapid fire.
No, we could do Overreaction Tuesday. What do I care?
It's your show.
Masters Week.
Okay, good. Hold on a minute. We'll do it tomorrow.
I was reading this Anthony Richardson feature on ESPN today. I had me thinking thoughts.
Monday on a Tuesday. You've now just teased it.
Save some stuff.
Okay. What do I care?
What do we do?
Should I not say those things?
I mean, it's your show.
Oh,
so
I care.
Like
I care deeply.
I care deeply. It's one of our best segments.
I care deeply.
You know, we made a whole show out of it.
Boom. It's a segment.
Boom. Boom.
Don't look directly. Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there's the sneak-a-peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got-a-ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.